ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Welcome to this podcast, produced in association with our strategic partners, Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, and Generation CFO. The phrase transformation has been uttered in many conversations over the past years. Its definition can be confusing. The pace of change for organisations is continuing to accelerate, and the forthcoming changes reflect yet more ambition and evolution in the years ahead. So how should the finance community play its role in driving towards the organisations of the future? ACCA, in association with Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand and Generation CFO, have been considering the impact of transformation on organisations and the role that the finance community can play. Our observations are presented in the joint report, Transformational Journeys, Finance in Agile World. This is the first of a series of podcasts that accompany the report. And in this introductory podcast, my fellow report authors and I will discuss the key messages from our research. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm the Head of Business Management and the ACCA's Professional Insights team. And I'm pleased today to be joined by my guests, Charlotte Yvette, Chris Argent, and Suresh Sood. Charlotte is the New Zealand Government and Pacific Relations Leader for Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, based in New Zealand. Chris is the founder and CEO of Generation CFO, based in the UK. And Suresh is a data scientist working for Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand. Welcome, all three of you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Clive. Great to be here.
So, Suresh, shall we start with probably the tricky question? Mm-hmm. From our research, what did we conclude transformation meant to people?
Yeah, this was a surprising one, given that professionals we associate pretty much head down and looking at financials. Surprisingly, when we look across the world, and if we use our report as the voice piece, we found that time and time again, professionals in our field want to make the world a better place. They want to make the world much more healthier, and that includes reaching out to society. And this is something that the report, time and time again, and we actually see this also as actions for our members of the profession as well. So it really is about redefining the purpose that we stand for from a finance team's perspective and ensuring that planetary concerns and concerns around people are taken into account moving forwards in any transformation. And therefore, ESG seems to be an important springboard by which transformation will become much more sustainable and the profession of financial people around the world and associated professions will start to gravitate. So hopefully that's provided, if you like, in a nutshell, even though we have a number of pages covering this area, hopefully that does provide some relevant feedback and context for what we believe to be the profession is saying transformation is about.
So in essence, it's a journey. It's broader than simply something to do with technology or data. It is about people and process. It's about culture. And it is something that is ongoing. Chris, is that something that resonates with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been a sort of evolution of technology over time, which gets us to this big term of digital transformation. So people have kind of followed it historically, but actually, if we understand the opportunity of digital transformation now and how it can impact our client relationships and our customer relationships, whether you're in a firm or whether you're in industry, there's a big opportunity. And I think we need to sort of unpick that a bit more. And, a couple of examples that we've had recently where, in a firm, people are starting to be much more client first, client focused. If you're sort of talking to your customer once every 6 months or client once every 6 months, we can do a lot better than that. I think there's people want a stickier relationship with their clients, and they want to be much more hands-on. And that's kind of a you know, a finance transformation, a digital transformation move. And that's manifesting itself in two ways in firms, where we've got this sort of talk around an advisory service. You know, what can we do to, you know, improve our clients' business? What can we do to provide more information to the client, more advisory to the client, and obviously charge for that as a sort of value-adding service? Then on the other side, maybe internally, we've got audit effectiveness and audit efficiency, and how we use these technologies that are coming into play to, you know, automate the processes, upskill the teams, and actually just run the core firm activities more effectively. And, you know, in industry, it's a very similar journey. It's just that, the you know, there's a different customer, the business first, or the actual customer itself, if you're, you know, more on the commercial side, you know, trying to automate processes, trying to add more value to the business in terms of analytics and just general use of data. You know, us becoming much more data analysts in our role through this transformation, rather than, you know, just a accountant or just a business partner. It's a sort of mix of skills, and that seems to be driven, you know, very much by, you know, us needing to provide more information to the business, but also externally now with the ESG agenda, with, you know, environment concerns, you know, social data. We need to start reporting on this. It's been talked about for a very long time, but it's very much a reality now.
So it is that sense of that broader agenda, isn't it? That organizations, A, need to be more customer-centric. It is about a broader landscape, simply technology, but it's also recognizing that the world itself is changing, as you just say, Chris, from an ESG point of view, from a purpose point of view, as Suresh referred to. And Charlotte, does that all resonate with you?
Absolutely, Clive. With what both Chris and Suresh said, I couldn't agree more. And I'd just like to go back to Suresh's point at the beginning, just about culture. He touched on culture. And I think the importance of culture in a transformation initiative cannot be overestimated. It is, you cannot successfully change, say, an operating model without paying attention to culture. And you can't have an agile transformation without an agile culture, and without embedding transformation into the organization culture. And we highlight this in the white paper as well, I think in section 4. And just also to pick up on something that both Suresh and Chris said earlier about the role of digital or technology in a transformation. Most things are digital nowadays in terms of businesses. So I think we need to remember that digital or technology is a driver. So the outcome is sustainable business, and technology is an enabler. It's the means and not the end.
Thanks. Chris, if I could rewind slightly and maybe pick up this sense of the business case for transformation, because a lot of those that contributed to our roundtables commented that the traditional views of IRR and NPV and techniques like that seem to be failing, maybe because transformation is now an ongoing process. It's an agile or scrum-based activity, but also that this broader sense of the ESG that you've all referred to so far means that we now talk about value rather than we talk about financial return. What, in your view, does that mean for the finance professional trying to look at a business case for transformation?
It's challenging for them, you know, without a doubt. I think with the conversations we had as well, it was obvious people were trying to do two things that didn't necessarily complement each other. You know, they were trying to invest in the right projects, but without having, you know, a full understanding of what the benefit was, what the return would be. And that's very much because this is a, you know, a wholesale change. This is a business model change, potentially, which includes, you know, many different benefits, many different costs, both tangible and intangible, you know, both internal and external, and ESG is, you know, just one part of that. So I think there's a struggle to kind of get this all down on paper and assess it in the normal kind of investment appraisal way. But, you know, fundamentally, the improvements that we make, the continuous improvement that we make, you know, will lead to, on one side, a cost reduction. If we're marrying, you know, processes up with automation and robots and better integration, there's there has to be a case for saving there. Otherwise, we're just not going to do it. But absolutely, there is a bigger picture of what's the overall benefit, what's the benefit to the customer, the client, their experience, what's the benefit on the ESG agenda. You know, are people more likely to be working with us if we're leading on that? If your customer is younger, I think they're much more aligned to ESG and you know, the social impact that you make as a company. So I think there's a lot more to consider, but it's hard for the CFO who has to write that check, because they want to make sure that in a list of 20 priorities that the right 5 or 10 are funded.
And is there a sense, Chris, that actually we now need to think about rolling funding? We've talked about in the report and some of the additional pieces about the CFO almost giving the blank check, not simply as a blank check, but the reality that these incremental changes happen so rapidly that the traditional approaches are almost rolled into business as normal.
So I would say, you know, the short answer is yes, but that has to come with, you know, other things. It has to come with governance, it has to come with trust, it has to come with, you know, a change of mindset within the team. You know, I think we've all talked about culture, and culture is core. You know, this isn't change, this isn't continuous improvement in terms of small changes. This is a potentially a wholesale change to your business model. And if we're saying part of that is how we fund things is going to change as well, then we have to make sure that we've baked in the right sort of governance, the right sort of trust, because we can't have a, you know, open checkbook approach to what we do, but we can be much more aligned to, say, an innovation process or an R&D process on certain projects. And there is a question whether this is a sort of project funded at all. This is just how we operate now. This is how we fund our business going forward. And you know, you can imagine in any organization, there's a very long list of things that need funding. So we have to get the prioritization part right. But also the nature of that spend is changing as well. In the past, a lot of this would end up on your balance sheet. You know, now, because of the SaaS models that are out there, it's coming onto your P&L. So there's a lot to consider here from a funding point of view. But I think that we are moving in that direction. It's just a problem we all need to fix.
And Charlotte, what does that mean in terms of the contribution that finance needs to play to those projects that Chris talked about, that more flexible workforce, the flexible work structures?
Well, when I think of transformation in business, and you talk about the role of the finance community, Clive, I think, as Chris mentioned earlier, the finance community brings a range and a mix of skills. And speaking of transformation, the role of the finance community has and is transforming. So it's no longer solely a reporting role. It's now part advisory, part data analyst, part reporting, part many things. And I think as traditional custodians of the financial data, the finance team can really help the business to use both financial and non-financial data to derive insight. Obviously, the financial insights will be vital to developing the traditional aspects of the business case that Chris was speaking of earlier, but also transformation initiatives, as we've spoken about at length, are increasingly focused on non-financial measures, ESG matters, and the benefits of these transformation initiatives can't be captured solely by traditional financial metrics. So the finance community is in a really strong, well-placed to help develop the reporting metrics to capture the value of ESG transformation initiatives, for example.
And is this, Charlotte, a plea for finance teams to step up and recognise their need to be involved in all aspects of different transformations, from a data, from a reporting, from an integrity point of view, that it isn't just simply about financial numbers historically in a corner?
Absolutely, Clive. But I don't think as finance professionals we can take our seat at the table for granted. We actually will have a place there because we're thought of as the provider of numbers traditionally, but we actually have to add value across all different parts of the business. You know, the CFO is thought of, or should be thought of, as the right-hand woman or man of the CEO, because they're able to provide the value, data, insight, advisory assistance to the CEO, but that's not a given. The finance team and the CFO, they need to earn that by providing value across the business, as you point out.
And Chris, on that earning the right piece, is that something you see in the conversations that you have with CFOs, that they recognise this imperative and how that links to transformation?
They do, but it's funny what the motivation is. You know, we'd like to think that this is a great board initiative and, you know, everyone's getting behind this big prize of ESG. But actually, I think the motivations from this are more on the ground. You know, we're seeing that the talent that are coming in, you know, are keen to address these problems. They're starting to challenge the management approach. They're starting to challenge the technology that's in play. It doesn't marry with their own sort of experience in the world and personally from a technology point of view. So they are starting to challenge things, I think, bottom up as well as top down. And we see that in retention of staff. You know, there seems to be a sort of jumping off point when people qualify, which, you know, why is that? You know, we're not inspiring people to go on and address these sorts of wider issues in their careers. So I do definitely see that in both practice and industry, but I think the motivation at the moment is actually coming from somewhere else. You know, we simply want to keep good staff, close that skills gap. And then I think as that there's a sort of critical mass, we'll get on to these bigger prizes. And I think it can be done both ways. You know, we can sort of build it out sort of technology wise over time. But I think the bigger move, the braver move, and the faster move would be to start with this digital transformation approach and then work out what you need after making the sort of board level move. But yeah, I definitely see it.
So maybe this is a question for both you, Chris, and for Charlotte as well. Is this a plea for the members of the profession to be engaging in their continuing education in aspects of transformation in this journey that we've talked about, not just the digital journey, but the culture, the changes in the workplace, etc. That has to form part of your continuous education cycle, doesn't it?
Oh, Clive, can I start by answering absolutely 100%? And I think, you know, most of our members get it, members of CAANZ and ACCA and other professionals. But I mean, I look at our Chartered Accountants Australia New Zealand, our professional qualification program, the CA program, that's now only 25% technical skills. The rest, technical, when I say that, I mean traditional accounting learning. The rest of it is digital, it's, you know, analytics, it's human skills, it's a whole range of skills that wouldn't have traditionally been considered the realm of the accounting and finance professional, and now that's the core part of the program. So I think most accounting professionals get it, but we need to be up to date and forward looking and continuously learning and keeping ourselves skilled. And it's more important now than ever.
Yeah, I'll come in on that as well, Clive. You know, I think absolutely, you know, people recognise the need to continue their education. You know, CPD is a requirement, but this is quite different. You know, this is to remain relevant, to keep doing a good job, you know, to keep supporting the business. You know, in the past, I don't remember the business saying, you know, have you taken that latest IFRS course? You know, but they have said, we want more analytics, we want more support on this data. Can we use this data? Can we improve our, you know, relationships with our customer by understanding that better? So I think there's a different kind of, you know, education needed. But I'd also say I think it's a generational thing as well, where there are different needs at different levels. You know, people coming into the profession now have probably taken some kind of computer science course before, you know, at school, whereas that was never part of anyone's formal training. So I think there's a sort of understanding and awareness learning for all levels, simply to get everybody on the same page. And then it's right, there's a, you know, a cohort for each sort of section or each level, so that I know how to lead it if I'm a manager or leader. I know how to, you know, master this approach or these tools if I'm a manager or in the team. So and creating these pathways is really important. You know, we see as soon as people kind of understand there is a pathway, and you know, maybe this goes much further than qualification and could be really interesting to a lot of people in our profession, because I think at heart, you know, we are analysts and, you know, we want to be doing this sort of work, but we just don't know what we don't know at the moment. So, I'm excited for people in our career, because I think as soon as they realize the opportunity and the learning opportunity, then they'll be very happy to go down this journey.
So it is a sense of rich opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely. Clive, I was just going to jump in there because Chris just made me think in terms of pathways. I mean, in terms of learning and ongoing learning, you can, of course, take the traditional approach for paid learning. You can have, you know, all sorts of online learning, but then there's also the learning opportunities available to you in your organization just by putting up your hand and saying, oh, look, you know, that project there is data analytics focused. I don't have a lot of experience, but I'm keen to learn. And it's about the employer sort of mentoring the employee through that process, but also about, you know, individuals putting up their hand and wanting to learn more and just seizing opportunities as well.
And Suresh, in the report, we do a bit of crystal ball gazing, don't we, about the future, and we talk about the transformation. And this very much links to what Charlotte and Chris have been talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. But what it also suggests, and we certainly describe this in the report, the individual certainly has to be self-driven as well. And building on what Chris and Charlotte have been talking about from an upskilling perspective, for instance, if one has any quiet downtime or one wants to direct one's own knowledge, I think it's very clear there's going to be a new generation of green financial tools. So getting up to speed using those tools within your workplace becomes very important. Something such as 3D printing, we heard time and time again in our research. One end we heard about making samples of shoes using 3D printing. On the other hand, we heard about concrete structures being used in the construction of HS1. And by coming up to speed with such advanced technologies, well, 3D printing is not so advanced, it has huge ramifications on accountancy and finance implications for assets and so forth, and sustainability. So yes, absolutely important to be driven. But the one thing I will say is we have all assumed up till now that sustainability costs. What we are finding as we uncover different professionals, as we uncover, say, regulation within the UK, the European Community, New Zealand, you know, the work on the Task Force on Climate Disclosure, while this sounds like mandates, there's actually money by doing it. There's rebates, there's obviously other incentives to move to electric vehicles and so on. So I think in all of this, we have to be self-driven and not assume the obvious up till now that sustainability costs. So I think, again, this is really should be at the forefront of the finance team.
Okay, some really interesting thoughts there, and I hope they've mirrored the report, and if you want to explore them in greater detail, there's a lot more in the report itself. I'm going to ask my colleagues to just give one key message to leave the audience with, leave you to think about in terms of transformation, a trigger that you might have from the conversation. And Charlotte, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely, Clive. I would say digital is an enabler. It's the means, not the end of transformation.
Thank you. And Chris?
Yeah, I love my Simon Sinek, and I would say start with the why. You know, why are we doing this? You know, this isn't a IT initiative for the sake of it. You know, this is to improve something, maybe transform something within the business. This is you know, a business model shift. So we really need to understand why we're going to start this before we even start it. And then the rest will follow, because we can't rely just on theatre and, you know, big motivational pitches. You know, this is a long term thing. So, you know, understand why, get behind it that way.
And Suresh?
Yeah, so a North Star for customer experience, and that is one of the sustainable customer. And for listeners, I'd urge them to read the report for them to unpack what we mean by a sustainable customer.
Thank you. And for me, I think the observation is about this continual world of evolution and the sense that we talk about transformation. We've traditionally talked about transformation from a big picture perspective. Now we're seeing organizations, particularly from the pandemic, but that probably accelerated the trend, speeding up the way they need to respond. And I think if we add that to the mix, it's a very key reason why finance professionals really need to be involved and an integral part of the agile functional teams that organizations are increasingly standing up to address those customer-centric, those ESG issues that Chris and Charlotte and Suresh have talked about. Well, thank you all three for giving us your thoughts today and your contributions to the report. We hope that you found this session useful. If you want to read the full report or access only the abstracts of it, then please visit either the ACCA, the Chartered Accountants Australia New Zealand, or the Generation CFO websites, or download the ACCA Professional Insights app. In this series of podcasts, you'll find further discussions of some of the topics we've talked about in terms of culture, the business case, the imperative for transformation in greater depth. But thank you all for listening and goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.